Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Welcome back to Season 3, Episode 2 of the Real Docs Podcast. We are your co-hosts. I'm Dr. Lisa Jung.
And I'm Dr. Britt Lesher.
Woo! And today we are going to talk about ADHD in adults. It is pretty, I don't want to say popular, but I think it's coming into light a lot more recently. So we thought it would be a perfect chance to talk about it. Along with that, I'm sure if you already have ADHD diagnosis and if you are on Adderall or, you know, the generic of Adderall, anything like that, there is a big shortage. So great opportunity for us to kind of talk about it, what that is. I feel like there's also a lot of folks who are kind of wondering if they have ADHD because they didn't get diagnosed in their childhood, or maybe they're starting to see a little more in their own behavior or things in their life. So all things above in terms of ADHD in adults.
Yeah, so I feel like we kind of had this conversation a little bit before because of that shortage that was happening. And I think the reason why there is like a shortage, maybe it's a little bit resolved right now, but there's still like so many more people that are trying to get diagnosed for ADHD, like you said. Or I've been seeing this so commonly. It's like those, like, I don't know what they're called, but where it's like you see a doctor online and then you can get a script. Like you take a short quiz and answer a couple of questions. Oh, you have ADHD. Here's an online provider that you can access for $99 a month and you can get your prescription for Adderall or some of these other ADHD medications. So I feel like that is probably what led to this big shortage, is a lot of people realizing that they can get access to these like very
stimulating,
stimulant. They're addictive too, right? Because, you know, how Adderall and Ritalin and Concerta, how all of these medications kind of work is by modulating our dopamine and norepinephrine pathways. So why don't we kind of just like dive into, I guess, like ADHD, how does it usually present for people? What kind of symptoms may people be looking out for if they're thinking they may or may not have ADHD?
Yeah. And I'm going to kind of talk about it a little bit in terms of ADHD. Whenever we kind of talk about it, most times it was always kind of in that sense of in a pediatric population, right? Like kind of the classic, my kid can't pay attention in class or can't sit still, yada, yada, yada. In adults, you still have that like inattention, the hyperactivity, you know, all that kind of sort of stuff. The hyperactivity isn't really a big part of their presentation. If anything, it's more of kind of like the burnout, inability to focus, you know, that sort of a thing, or even like restlessness.
I was going to say, yeah, like in my patients that when I do the screening for ADHD, a lot of times there is that attention deficit, right? Where they like can't complete tasks, or they're not interested in completing tasks, or it's hard to finish or start tasks. They are often like forgetful. They just have really a difficult time with the executive functioning part of it, the motivation piece specifically. And that's why we see so commonly with ADHD, people struggle with, you know, other kind of comorbidity mental illnesses like anxiety and depression. I remember there was that conference that our annual conference that we just went to in July, but there was one last year where we attended a talk about ADHD in adults and about how so many different, specifically women, female adults, don't get diagnosed until much later because their symptoms when they're younger, they're like very high functioning. Maybe a lot of those symptoms present more in like the anxious realm or maybe the depression realm. And so they don't get diagnosed until they're adults. So I think it's a good idea for people, like if you can look up a lot of these criteria for ADHD and, you know, if it is something that you think that you could be struggling with, we really advise that you seek out a provider that can work you up for ADHD and offer you some treatment options.
Yeah. I think the other sort of common symptom or presentation, right, that we don't really see a lot in, well, we can probably see a lot in kids actually, but especially in adults too, is kind of like this impulsivity as well as, you know, kind of in the realm of like the anxiety that you were talking about too, right? Just a lot of that like mind running. People always kind of describe it as like a hamster wheel, right? And it's so funny. As you already know, my husband has ADHD. So it's like classic like ADHD like person. And I'm just like, wow, this really is like a hamster wheel. And like, you know, sometimes it's funny. Sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, okay, like the ADHD is really flaring up today. But, you know, you kind of see a lot of this points going from like point A to point B to point C, point, you know, or like even different topics,
kind of
right?
Scattered.
Yeah. It's a little bit scattered. And then you're just like, wow.
And a lot of these things can make it very difficult for people to like, you know, live a normal life and be able to attain a lot of like the daily functioning things. It's harder for people to get through school. I think from like a naturopathic perspective, we were also taught too that, okay, there is this kind of theory around neurotransmitters and maybe people with ADHD having like dopamine deficiencies or things like that. But I also just think of like genetics, like there's these things tend to travel in families heavily. I think a lot too about our like environment and our food and the things that people are consuming. And if you just think about it now too, like our lives, social media, all of those things don't help a person who like maybe is struggling from the beginning. And so I think it's from a naturopathic perspective, I've always seen ADHD as something very difficult to treat because there are a lot of like the main treatment options are these pharmaceutical drugs that are tend to be very addictive for people. And, you know, a lot of times we don't even have them in our scope of practice to be able to prescribe. So I feel like maybe I kind of stayed away from trying to treat people with ADHD. But that talk that we attended last year at the conference really opened my eyes to like, there's actually so much that we can do from a naturopathic perspective. If you think about it, it's just brain health.
Yeah.
Like really it's brain and neurotransmitter health.
I love how you brought up kind of like the naturopathic approach, right? Because when it comes to the actual cause of ADHD is still unknown. There's a lot of theories, you know, the neurotransmitter pathways for sure. And that kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with like the detox pathway, right? Or like the methylation, MTHFR, things like that. Along with that, the environmental factors like heavy metals, chemical exposure, diet, we know in terms of like sugar, artificial coloring, especially in kids, you know, that's a big, big factor. Sometimes even just like elimination diet too, right? You don't want to like, well, this is more in kids, but like you don't want to be completely eliminating, you know, foods from people's diet and things like that. But there are certain food triggers in terms of more of that symptom presentation of ADHD for some folks, or even we really kind of, this is going like even before kids, right? Or before pediatric, but prenatal conditions. So when a mother is pregnant, you know, in terms of what's the fetal development, what's maternal stress, you know, all these different things that really kind of go beyond, right? In terms of probably like the genetic slash the, what is it called? Like gene composition, I suppose.
Oh, I see. Of yeah.
Epigenetics. So let's call it that. Yeah. All that kind of sort of stuff. So, you know, I feel like that also kind of lays out a good foundation when we talk about naturopathic approach to treatment of ADHD.
One thing I was just going to say too, just because like we even learned when we were kind of in school and like how to go about thinking about treating ADHD in kids, a big one was like, you know, really getting a hold of their diet and the kinds of things that they're exposed to, just because the chemicals that are in the foods are like not good for these kids. And a lot of the dyes that are in foods, and not to mention like pesticides and all of that stuff. We could do a whole, and I feel like we are planning this season to do a whole episode on like how to be a conscious shopper and like how to shop for your groceries and things like that. But kids are so, they're so young and impressionable, and they really like, they eat what you put in front of them. And these things are very highly addictive. They're made to be highly addictive. And the reason why they're addictive is because they're modulating dopamine levels. When we talk about ADHD, we have to keep in mind that like, okay, we don't know exactly what is causing it. There's some like genetic things that could be happening. There's some like neurotransmitter things that could be happening. But in the reality of it is like, what are we kind of modulating here? We're modulating people's motivation, executive function, which does require like these neurotransmitters. And when we were learning about treatment too for adults, a lot of it came into cognitive behavioral therapy, mm-hmm. and being mindful of like, what are the things that are actually causing you to be inattentive or to have that attention deficit. I myself have been like, oh, I'm having trouble with my motivation, or I'm having trouble with my executive function. Everything feels overwhelming. I don't know where to start. Maybe I have ADHD, right? Like it's not a far, far jump for a lot of people.
Is it burnout or is it ADHD?
Exactly. That is what I am wondering, yeah. Because I think even for us too, like we got through undergraduate programs where we would be deemed successful people. Like we went through medical school, and I feel like when we get out into the world and when you're not under this like very strict, you know, bubble of like things that you have to achieve
or like reward from that achievement.
Exactly. The reward pathways kind of are not controlled as much as they were before, then it's very easy for you to be like, I don't have the attention span to get all of these things done. And, you know, I would find it manifesting in my other points of my life. Like even if I'm just cleaning my house, I'm like on start from one side of the house to another, and I have no idea how I got there, right? So I think that a lot of it is definitely getting like your brain health and your neurotransmitters and hormones and all of those types of things that we talk about, getting those foundations really great. But I think to a certain degree, it also has a lot to do with our like mental emotional state for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, ADHD is under the classification of a mental health condition, right? So anything mental health related, you know, we are definitely supportive and endorse working with a therapist, a licensed mental health practitioner, to really do, whether it's cognitive behavior therapy or just regular talk therapy or anything and everything kind of above that is going to help you within that ADHD lifestyle, right? In terms of how to go about it, how to really go about your life where it's not going to be impacting you. And it's going to actually work with you. Kind of in conjunction to the theory of like neurotransmitter in terms of ADHD contributing factors, right? There is also another theory of neuroinflammation. Mm. I know that's pretty general, but just inflammation within your nervous system, within your brain. You know, a lot of honestly everything we've already mentioned, right? The environmental exposure and whatnot, a lot of them do contribute to inflammation within the body, right? And within the nervous system. So that's also something to keep mind of, you know, whether it be you working with a naturopathic provider, one of us, anything like that. When it comes to, again, the testing end of things, there is kind of a different sort of categories of things to test for if indicated.
You know, when I was going through trying to heal myself, right? Because I was like, Okay, even if you do get a diagnosis of ADHD, the treatment options for you are medication, lifelong medication. And when I looked into those medications, we know they're very addictive. They have tons of side effects. And I was just like, this is not going to work for me. And so when I was trying to go down my rabbit hole of like, okay, what am I going to do in place of these things to help try to manage it? And so I went down this rabbit hole of like productivity and, oh, how do I set goals for myself? And how do I plan and time like organize and all of this type of stuff? And I listened to this one audiobook, and it was really talking about how like we say that, for example, depression is when our mind is focused on the past. Anxiety is when our mind is focused on the future. ADHD is when we're essentially in the present moment, but we're like absent in the present moment. Like we can't actually focus on what is going on here and now. Our mind is jumping around to so many other different things.
It's like time traveling.
Exactly. Like it's like your body, your mind can't focus on one thing at a time. And for many different reasons, I think that has become normal in our society. Like if we think about just like people being on their phones and doom scrolling, it's like we're trying to avoid being in the present moment by like distracting ourselves essentially with something else. And that kind of like made me realize like, okay, I'm actually just absent. I'm living in the present moment, but my mind is absent and it's not here. And where is it? And how can I bring it back to like the future, the current moment, so that I can get some things done that I want to stay focused on?
Conventionally, right? As you already mentioned, it's usually things like methylphenidate or Ritalin, Adderall. There are some non, or even Vyvanse, right? Or there are some non, quote unquote, like stimulant in that category, things like atomoxetine. We also think about like antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication, Klonopin, you name it, right? Wellbutrin. What's kind of interesting is that I'm sure you probably heard about this or heard something of the sort from like your patient population too, but oftentimes, especially like that women, you know, female adult who got diagnosed with ADHD, it's kind of like this history of like, yeah, we thought it was anxiety or depression, and then we went on a whole slew and tried various different like SSRIs or SNRIs or blah blah blah, nothing worked, and then Wellbutrin worked the best because Wellbutrin, we know in terms of it works on our dopamine as well, right? So things like that. Now it's not a thing of medication's the worst or anything like that. If it works for you, great. One thing that, at least for me personally, when I was in my undergrad, I majored in pharmaceutical sciences, so a lot of my classes were, you know, related to medications or right. development of these medications, how do these work and things like that. One of my professors, I remember, was, and she was really awesome, she was head of the Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences in our university, but she was very gung-ho and really had that integrative approach. So making sure you're eating well, making sure you're, you know, fulfilling life. And she actually taught a class called like Life 101, which was very like, do things you like and, you know, all these things. Uh-huh. Anyways, one time, I think she went off on tangent because we were talking about, you know, stimulant drugs like Adderall and Ritalin. And she was like, do you understand how easy it is to get, you know, a prescription for Adderall? And this was like, you know, 10 something years ago. And she's like, I literally can just walk up to a pharmacist and say, you know what, like, I just have really hard time focusing and, you know, all the things that we mentioned, right, in terms of the symptoms of ADHD. She's like, I literally walked out of that pharmacy within 5 minutes with a prescription for Adderall. I didn't take it, of course, but you know, that's how easily you can get. And she was kind of stressing how easy it is to get prescribed those thing, and also having these, you know, the membership based telecare sort of a thing.
Yep.
Now that's also kind of enabling that, but also to also address how addictive these medications can get also too. And I remember one class from that same professor, we looked at it was kind of like a functional MRI. So looking at your brain MRI, right? But where you get to see the sort of the colors in terms of where it's the most active, where it's not active, you know, all these different things. And as well as your brain structure. People, we like saw a brain that was like your normal, like healthy brain, I suppose. And then there's another one that we're comparing it to someone who's been on like Adderall or like those stimulating drugs for, you know, however many years or anything like that. And the difference is pretty significant. The stimulant medication brain is all pretty much atrophied. It's not as, you know, firing up in terms of the neurons, in terms of the activity. And, you know, obviously with these medications, with the stimulation end of things, we're trying to achieve that quote unquote healthy neuropathway, but the consequences of it being on in your system and on your brain is pretty dire.
Some of the things that we think about naturopathically that can help people with ADHD. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we learned about with that talk that we went to last year was the major nutrient deficiencies that happen. This was like a CDC report. One of the main nutrient deficiencies was like the B vitamins, iron, vitamin D, zinc. All of these things are so important for a healthy brain, for healthy neuronal connections, for executive function, for memory, for motivation, for so many things, actually, like iron, zinc, vitamin C. I think of all of these things for, and vitamin D, for like actually making dopamine in our brains, right? If we're nutrient deficient, we don't have the building blocks or the cofactors, those little helpers that help get the processes done. We don't have those to make adequate levels of our neurotransmitters that are going to actually help us to keep focus, to plan and get the motivation that we need. Specifically iron too, because we know, you know, if women have a lower chance of getting an actual diagnosis, they have much higher rates of iron deficiency because they are losing blood every month, right? We lose tons of iron every month, and that is a super important nutrient for our brain health and for making some of these neurotransmitters.
And the other thing too, right, is essential fatty acids, right? Our brain is pretty much made up of fat. It's mostly fat. So making sure, you know, if you're not eating fish or if you're not eating like healthy fats in your diet, those are really good sources. And then, you know, supplementing with fish oil or algae oil or flax oil if you're vegan, you know, things like that, that you're replenishing and getting those nutrients that make up your brain. I feel like essential fatty acids especially are a big, big caliber when it comes to just mental health conditions overall. Really great for depression and things like that too. In the lens of both the nutrient and the neurotransmitter sort of pathway too. And again, to not to make it all about the gut, but you're also making sure your gut's really working well so that you are absorbing these nutrients, these building blocks from your food. I think we already touched about diet, making sure you're kind of reducing simple carbohydrates, sugar, things like that. Again, if you can be more protein and healthy fat rich in your diet, obviously we need carbs, but you know, in those choices of carbs, make good choices about carbs. We need them.
Yeah, I think that there's so many people too that like aren't aware of how easy it is to get some of these nutrients in their diet and how deplete a lot of these like processed foods are in actual nutrients that are going to be useful for your brain. I just think about even like the, like you were mentioning with the fish oils, like I know a lot of kids tend to be like picky eaters and don't even want to eat fish, let alone any other sources of like omega-3 fatty acids. And so, you know, that is the building block of your brain and you need it. It's very essential. And so there was even actually some research that was presented that stated that, you know, when we repleted these nutrients in children, meaning we gave them the nutrients that they were deficient in, they found that they got to a point where they didn't need as much of their Adderall medication or they didn't need as much of these medications. So that just shows you how powerful food is and how powerful food as medicine is, especially when it comes to like your brain health. I also think of those people that are doing the daily things that are detrimental to our brain health, like the alcohol and the smoking, right? Like those things we know have a very profound effect on our brain health and, you know, not only like motivation and executive function, but just like memory. We think of like people that are at risk for Alzheimer's disease and other types of like neurodegenerative conditions. So I think that it's very important for people to think about their brain as like this, you know, very full fatty substance that needs a lot of those good healthy nutrients in order to work optimally. I always have that conversation with patients around trying to work on their mental health, whether that be through therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, some sort of like meditation practice, like try to ground their focus. I feel like with meditation, it's very underrated, but I also feel like people struggle a lot with meditation and feel like it, well, it, I feel like it's something that a lot of people maybe don't see the merit in how it could help them. But kind of going back to what I was saying, like ADHD and our attention span is something that it's a tool. It's something that we have to practice. Like think about like monks that are meditating all day. They are like so in control of their thoughts, so in control of the present moment. They're fully present in the present. And I think about how our world is kind of set up against us in that way. And I tell my patients that all the time. I'm like, look, before we try to go down this avenue of getting you on some sort of ADHD medication, like there's so many other things that we can try, but just know that the system is set up against you to have attention. Like,
yeah,
our world is created right now for us to be very much inattentive and have attention deficits.
It's a too much information society, right? And mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, things like meditation, I'm a big fan of it. I just can't do it. But it's also one of those things. It's like a workout, right? You mm-hmm. have to keep doing it, keep being consistent so that you can get to that state and get better at it each time. I know we talk about foundations of health a lot and all the time, to be honest, but that's why it's so important, right? But things like making sure you're supporting your brain in terms of blood flow and things like that, just getting regular exercise, also eating a lot of like antioxidant, proanthocyanin sort of rich foods that are really good for that antioxidant activity within your brain and or antioxidant support so that you are reducing and eliminating the inflammation within the brain. Adaptogens and nervine herbs, I know we already talked about them in one of our other episodes, so I'm not going to get into it, but really good alternatives or even conjunctive treatment for people who are on antidepressant or anti-anxiety medications for their ADHD diagnosis. Obviously, check with your professional provider for medication, herb interactions. Those are real things. You don't want to have interactions between the two. I feel like some cognitive herbs, we can talk about that.
I love the like brain supportive mushrooms. Lion's mane comes to mind. It's actually shaped like a brain, which always blows my mind. It's just like the true like signs of nature, like eat this for your brain. Ginkgo is another really great one for like attention. We learned about like peppermint's another really good one.
Bacopa, rosemary is really also great. One thing, I know it's really expensive of a spice as well, but saffron is actually really great. There are some good researches for its benefits for depression and ADHD as well. The only thing, again, is there's only 3 little stems of saffron that comes with each flower. So it's very expensive, very sort of hard to harvest and all that stuff. So, you know, do conserve for the rest of the population, but really great for those.
So nervines are like herbs that really help to kind of calm and focus the nervous system. Like we've talked about L-theanine before, which is in green tea, and why like we always talk about like monks drinking green tea. It gives them a little energy, but also gives them L-theanine, which promotes kind of like a zen but focus. It was interesting how a lot of these brain supportive herbs overlapped with like calming down your nervous system, which it's like you can't focus and expect yourself to function at an executive level and plan and follow through if you're overwhelmed and anxious. So I think that's why, you know, there's such a large overlap with these mental health conditions and ADHD. And so that's why working with a professional that can be able to discern between these things and maybe get to the root cause, like maybe you don't have ADHD, maybe you're just overwhelmed and, like we talked about, burnt out. These are things that we think about from a naturopathic approach. It's not just like you're having these symptoms, here's a drug to get rid of your symptoms. It's like, but why? Let's look at the root cause of some of these things.
One last thing I want to put a plug in for, because I see this in my personal life with my husband, right? But for those who are on any sort of like Adderall or Ritalin or more of the stimulating drugs, there is also that post Adderall crash where, you know, someone looks and acts like a zombie because that high from a stimulation is now gone, and then you're kind of left with like the remnants of that, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, making sure, again, work with your provider, work with a naturopathic provider in terms of how to kind of go about it, but making sure you're repleting nutrients, making sure you're repleting a lot of the, you know, whether it's like vitamins or minerals or a lot of these building blocks for a lot of that like post Adderall crash. Even herbs are really great in terms of after the day's done, where you want to get back into more of that normalcy of like being a human, being relatively present, but not necessarily like addressing that like that ADHD state, right? In terms of like making sure, you know, or like, you know, focus and whatnot. But, you know, there's a lot that really is encompassed within ADHD, like mm-hmm. medication or not. There's so many things that are available. You know, as Dr. Britt also said, nervous system regulation is going to be a big, big key and big factor.
And if you are interested in finding out about alternatives to, you know, maybe you want to get off of your ADHD medication or you want to talk to another provider about an alternative, like we highly recommend trying to find a naturopathic doctor in your area that you can work with.
I hope you guys enjoy this episode on ADHD in adults. If you guys liked this episode, give us a thumbs up on YouTube if you're watching the video. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening in terms of the audio. Make sure you're following us on all of our social media on Instagram and the TikTok. All of our handles are down in the description below. And stay tuned for more episodes.
All right, guys. As always, be real
and stay well.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.